God forbid it, Lord, that this should ever happen to you. You can feel the strength of that, can't you? God forbid it, Lord. How passionate Peter was being. And Peter was the passionate one, wasn't he? And there's something about that personality, that great passion, that really endears him to me and maybe to you as well. This reading comes after the very famous feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. And you may recall that in those stories, the scribes and Pharisees were beginning to get a bit prickly and beginning to notice things, beginning to wonder, who is this guy? What's he saying? Who does he think he is? So I guess Peter and the disciples have been with Christ for a good 2 years and maybe well into Christ's third year of his ministry, his last year, his third year. Being part of a ministerial household meant that we were constantly, well, not constantly, but regularly on the move. And we used to say to each other that it would take about 3 years to begin to get a feel for who our new congregation was, who Michael was ministering to. 3 years. Takes a while to build up trust and to form relationships, accommodate different approaches, get to know one another. A handshake on the door once a week doesn't really do it, does it? So it does take some time to get to know the new minister and the new minister to get to know their congregation. So Peter is probably just about getting the picture of who Jesus is, and is coming to the realization of just how precious his relationship with Jesus is to him. He's been hooked. So he simply can't cope with what Jesus is telling the disciples. I have this image of Peter coming up to Jesus and just catching his elbow and moving him gently to one side to have a quiet word with him. Don't be daft, Jesus. You're young. You've a lifetime ahead of you. Get yourself together, man. This is never going to happen to you. Peter could see a future with this travelling prophet, their partnership lasting forever. Maybe he was already planning what their next activity would be together with excitement and zeal. But Christ is trying to tell the disciples and Peter that he's not like them. He may look like one of them and have all the attributes of being fully human, but Christ so wants his beloved disciples to understand that he is fully human and fully divine. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son. So the Gospel of John, clearly articulating the divinity of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom we cannot contain or limit to our human levels of emotion and understanding, had so much to offer before his final days. Maybe his human side spilled out angrily towards Peter and the disciples, the human and the divine clashing in desperation and frustration. Peter just couldn't grasp Christ's divinity. It can feel on occasions as though our human weaknesses clash with God's purposes. I remember an image of Cardinal Basil Hume at prayer, longing to spend time with God, but admitting in one of his books that his prayer time was often crowded out by his human thoughts. His thoughts wandering around his to-do list, just like the rest of us. And there I have put him on a pedestal as a holy man of God, always in deep prayer. His human thoughts clashing with his need of communion with God. We are all human, very human. Just like Peter, disbelieving, uncertain, trying to do our very best but not quite getting it, trying to find human answers to questions that defy answering. We struggle with the unknown, put human explanations in place. We tie ourselves in knots, trying to work out what life is all about. Judging others unfavorably when they have a different view in order to justify ourselves and maintain our own authority. As pilgrims in God's world, we spend our lifetime seeking a closer relationship with God. When we are feeling lost, lonely, isolated, fearful, even, we long for connection. Connecting with God can take us to a far deeper, broader inner landscape in which we may discover a greater perspective where our human responses and instincts melt into the presence of an all-embracing God. And the need to know it all disappears. A God who knows what it is to be human, but offers everyone the possibility of a world, a life of peace, joy, justice, and hope. A God who receives us just as we are, absorbs our worries and woes, and shows us what love can do. Kathy Galloway puts it like this: the love burning deep. Come out of the darkness, come out of the shadow. Come out of the endless night, all you who are poor now, all you who are broken, all you who are bowed by fight. Come into the light of God's sacred intention. Come under the shelter of God's hand. Here you may find riches, here you may find healing. Here now, you may rise and stand. Come out from your prisons. Come out from your ghettos. Come out from behind your walls. Leave all your distinctions. Leave all your derisions. And answer God when she calls. For God is your end, as she was your beginning. God is the desire of all your days. In God, love is fullness. In God, love is wholeness. Holy we will be all God's ways. No more will you rest now. No more take your ease now. No more let your life go by. Always you will seek God, forever desire her, until the day you die. God's love will consume you, blazing deep within you, burning away all that is not true, until you embrace God in flesh and in spirit, holy you and holy you. Amen.